Hello and welcome back to the third season of the 72 Show.
Blackpool has shut out the outside noise. What a goal! Yeah, he's up for one. Fully deserve it.
Pagnoli, left footed over the wall and in off the crossbar.
Gregory stretching. Morrison's there! Huddersfield Town will be playing in the Premier League. Sutton United are into the fifth round.
Lincoln City are heading back to the football.
I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and I'm delighted to be joined by two guests. I'm joined by Sunderland fan Andrew Clark.
Hello,
you there, Owen? Hiya. And also Middlesbrough fan Owen Meek.
How are we doing, gents? Okay.
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, good, thanks.
You guys both well?
Yeah, looking forward to the start of the season now, only a few days to go.
Uh-huh.
At least somebody is.
All right, well, we'll come on and talk about Middlesbrough shortly, but I want to start with Sunderland. So it's obviously last season in the Premier League, it was an absolute, pretty much a disaster, I think is probably the best way to put it from the start, with David Moyes' negative comments. Did it feel like that?
Yes, definitely. It was negative right from the start, because we didn't even feel it within the fans. He said we're in the relegation fight, and he didn't even try to prove people wrong by the looks of it. Just no one seemed to care.
Uh-huh. What do you think of David Moyes himself? Do you think he had a chance of staying at the club? Do you think, you know, there's any argument for him to stay, or do you think, you know, replacing him was the right thing?
Well, I was very positive about him joining at the start, but that totally changed over the season. I don't think there's anything he could do at the club now. I think he had to go. No one had any faith in him whatsoever.
And what do you make of Simon Grayson, who's come in? He did, I think, a decent job. I think it would be fair to say at Preston, you know, creditable 11th place, top half finish.
I'm actually all right with the appointment, maybe, because he seems that he's a manager who wants players to play at his club. Well, I don't think he'll manage to do that. And I like his attitude. He's just trying to sign the right players. And he knows that there's a limit to the club and he has a lot of fortune to spend. Well within the parameters of the club.
Mm-hmm. Owen, what do you make of David Moyes leaving and Grayson coming into Sunderland?
Yeah, I think he's right there. I think it was a parting of the ways was best for both people, well, club and Moyes himself. I think it was a case of I don't necessarily, a lot of some of the fans I've spoken to were really did think Moyes done a terrible job, but I think he had about as much faith in the club as the actual owners and the people involved in the club were showing in the club. I think it's very difficult to really get on board with the club when the feeling within the structure isn't there, or the support within the structure isn't there. It seems like it's been a bit of a fresh start during the summer now with Grayson coming in. I think there has been, I mean, I'm not privy to it, but I'm sure there's been changes behind the scenes more than just Grayson as well, which probably has done the club of the world a good, like.
There's only been a few. I think he brought his own assistant in, managed to finally get rid of Paul Grace as well. Because he just seemed to hang around with no matter who was there.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was much use.
Like a lingering smell he was.
Basically, yes.
I think Grace has got his work cut out, but I think the Sunderland board knew that the players they'd be losing, they knew that they'd have to do this sensibly in terms of financially. And I think Grayson's probably one of the better managers to be able to go in and do that. I do worry they've lost a lot of depth there. Players who I actually thought would have been good in the Championship, obviously you can't keep players who don't want to stay. But I think Brini, for me, would have been fantastic in the Championship. Seb Larsson too, I think he would have been good in the Championship. I think he's probably not quite good enough for the Premiership, but would have shown his class in the Championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then see where you're coming from. For me as well, I was sick of the sight of the pair of them, to be honest, because when you watch Barini in the Premier League trying to shoot, he didn't seem to be able to do anything with it. He either hit it down the middle, blazed it wide, he just seemed to panic when he got towards the ball.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you there. I think they definitely found the level at the Premiership. But I think anyone who's been involved in the Championship will tell you now, like, even strikers, if you can get a striker who can score you 5 goals for it to talk off, then sometimes that's a little bit better than someone who maybe gets you 6 or 7 phenomenal goals but doesn't do very much else.
Yeah.
This league's a hard league, and players like Brini, but then again, if he didn't want to be there, he wouldn't have worked his socks off this season anyway, so it's swings and roundabouts really, isn't it?
That's it.
You see, I think it's been a decent squad. Refresh myself with, you know, like other players like P&R and Ichibi, Jolyon Lescott's gone, and Seb Larsson, as you mentioned. I think you know, in terms of you think of the wage bill and stuff, I think it's kind of a decent squad refresh. But then going on from
I think basically it looked like he was just trying to pay his mate and wait before he almost quit. We love Payne and HB, Lescott. They didn't do much. And they were
Deadwood's gone, isn't it? And that's what you need when you, especially when, like I said, again, stress out difficult. Anyone who's been a fan of a club in the Championship for the last 5 years knows it's just getting tougher and tougher to get out of. And you've got to have players who want to be playing for the club and who want to be there week in, week out battling. So, yeah, I think a fresh start right across the board is probably the best thing for Sunderland and his fans, to be honest with you.
I totally agree.
Just got to quickly mention as well, Jermaine Defoe leaving for Bournemouth on a free, which is obviously disappointing, but there's no way he probably would have stayed at the club anyway, even if it wasn't in his contract, you'd have thought. And Jordan Pickford to Everton, 30 million, you know, good price. He looks like a real prospect of a keeper and, you know, good deal all round, I think.
Yeah, well, it would have been great to have them in the Championship, but every Sunderland fan expected both of those to leave.
What about
you say them last season, Pickford only's win the Premier League.
What about the players coming in? So you've got James Vaughan, Aidan McGeady, Jason Steele have come in for just over a million, and Lewis Graven's coming on loan. You think they're good players to bring in?
Well, I know. Well, Graven, they've got the experience in the Championship when McGeady played last season. I think Graven might have been out with Vaughan as well last year in the Championship. I think Vaughan could be good. It's just we've got to hope that the penalties he's missed in pre-season isn't going to affect his confidence at the start. Steele, not really saying much of him, but I just think 4 years is a bit too much for him. And hopefully him and Reuters could combine. And hopefully, because they've got the defence they've got in front of them is pretty poor. But they're definitely low on confidence. So hopefully it doesn't affect the goalkeepers we've just brought in.
Yeah, I was going to say that. If you were to say you need two players, what areas would you say you need to
defence straight away?
Yeah,
it's definitely defence. I think centre half, because we've got the midfield. I would say centre half, and we would need some attacking midfielder in the middle because we're too defensive. We Rodwell, Cattermole, and don't get forward, but he doesn't really have any effect up front.
It's the one area you don't want to be lagging in either defence in the Championship. It's such a, you know, 3-4 games in, you know, 6-7 days at times. Any injuries crop up, you don't want to be going in with kids. Like
I said, we're not lighting the air. Is the fact is when you look, Corney doesn't want to be. He clearly wants to, since he got his double the contract and Evan came in from. He's never been the same player as he was in the 6 months when he first joined. And then John O'Shea, his legs are starting to go up, so he's another one we have to try and look to replace him. But he may help with the youngster like Brennan coming in.
Yeah,
so I think he could be the starter, I think, alongside probably, I would imagine, Cornier at the start.
Do you think you should have sold Defoe in January and just got something for him, or do you think the risk was worth taking strike for him to keep you in the league?
I think the risk was worth taking because we wouldn't have made much from him, I don't think, and you would have looked at a couple of million. But for a player, he was scoring the goals. It was just we were hoping the rest of the team would have backed him up, but clearly they didn't do it. He did his job; the rest of them just weren't able to support him.
I just want to give a quick mention to Darren Gibson, who's made a few headlines as well. He got in trouble for basically having a go at his teammates. He said some of them, like Wabi Kazri and Lenz and others, just didn't care. He said he cared about the club and he'd do his best. The team had just lost 5-0 to Celtic, and there's been disciplinary action taken against him. What do you make of it as a, you know, as obviously a fan?
It's an awkward situation. When you've got to think football, humans don't want to have opinions. It's the fact is, it's like they play for the club and it's professionalism as well, and then slating your teammates to the public is probably not what you want to hear. He's probably just saying what every Sunderland fan's thinking anyway.
Yeah.
It's just because he's saying it as well, it's wrong.
It was a funny situation, wasn't it? I read it, and I read the first headline I read was that he'd let himself down. That was like underneath the headline. And I thought, as soon as I read it, I said out loud to myself, I said, actually, the moment he let himself down was when he went back into work and he apologised to the players he called shit. Because he was bang on the money. They were shit.
We totally agree. You can tell. He was completely, everyone agreed with what he was saying.
It's the media situation, isn't it? Again, it rears its head. It'd be nice once in a while for Grayson or whoever is involved in the situation for the manager to actually just come out and go, do you know what, he's allowed this thing, you know, as best we can, we keep it behind closed doors, but it's not always going to be like that. You know, I've slated people at work, I've slated people after a game of football on a Sunday. It just happens, and I think the media just cling on to it and build stories where there's not really a story there, to be honest with you.
That's it. Well, social media, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things.
I think it's an interesting one, because you think back in the day when, you know, players would go out for a pint, or that's how you imagine it historically in the stories you hear, whereas nowadays they just don't seem to do that. And I think there also is the argument that maybe he's showing he does care, rather than just being like, oh, you know, we'll do our best, say something generic. He's actually...
let's be honest, the man's gone out and he's put himself in a situation where he's around fans who are going to be angry with the performance and angry, after the last 18 months. Hugely disappointed with Bud. There's a lot of players who will sit in their mansions or go out privately and go through the back door. And yeah, so he's there, he's interacting with fans, and for me, he should be applauded in some way for that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's too much money in football nowadays, and the players are there, they can sit on the bench and still be on a 50-60 quid for doing nothing.
Yeah.
If you did something like work, you'd be sacked for doing nothing, but they get to sit there and just watch football and play and go over 60,000 pound a week.
In terms of Darren Gibson as a player, do you think he'll play any part in this season or not?
I think I don't think he'll play much, because I wasn't too impressed with him last season. So it was just like a cheap signing we got along with Oviedo. So he may be a player, but I think you look at Cattermole and Dahl, it's probably the main two, and then if McNair comes back, and then I'm hoping to see the likes of Everton, Honeyman, Gooch. So I don't think he'll play too much of a role this season.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move on from there, because I want to discuss Middlesbrough a bit. Firstly, new manager in there as well, with Gary Monk. He did a very good job at Leeds last season, I thought, and I think it's a good appointment for Middlesbrough. Do you agree, Owen?
Yeah, much needed. I was on the boards last year, and I was one myself and Dire Wolf on the forums, mm-hmm. along the same train of thought, in that we didn't think Cranker would do the job when he got to the Premier League. He was just too defence minded. And it'll only take you so far in the Premier League, especially. I think maybe 8-9 years ago it would have worked, but you look at the likes of Bournemouth, who come up, Brighton when they're up this season, Huddersfield they're up this season. All of those types of teams now who come up, they give it a go and they score goals. And alright, they might get hammered 5-0 some weekends, but they're going to get enough goals to pick up 3 points here and there. And when you're trying to see out games at 1-1 or 0-0, then you're asking for trouble, really. So I just, as good a coach as he was, I just didn't feel he was suited for the Premier League, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Monk, I think Monk's got he's certainly got the fans behind him straight away, and he plays the football that the fans want to go and pay and see. Though Middlesbrough's not an affluent area, fans mm-hmm. don't want to be paying 35 quid to go and see a dour draw on a Saturday. You know, they work hard working down Middlesbrough, and there's not much money up there, so when they spend it, they want to see something exciting and good, not something that bores you to tears.
I was going to say, because I think Gary Monk, I would have loved to have seen him here, actually. I know he's been here, but I don't blame him for making the choice he did, because behind the scenes, Barrow's a lot, the club's run a lot better than what we are, I think, financially. Mm-hmm. I think Gibson's a lot better with his money than I think Alan Short's been, and I think Alan Short's been badly advised for everything. So I don't think Gary Monk wanted to come in to that kind of a mess. But Barrett, I don't think he's in any mess at all, and I've had a good chance of getting back up. Yeah.
You mentioned about lack of goals last season. You know, tried to change that. Brett Assombalonga, Martin Brathwaite, and Ashley Fletcher, most recently coming from West Ham. Quite a strike force there.
Yeah, exciting as well. I think he could have gone out and just bought. Probably, to be honest with you, we've got Rudy up there still from last season, Patrick Bamford's there. I think he could have probably been forgiven just going out and getting Assombalonga, but he's strengthened another two places there, and there's no signs that Bamford's going anywhere. Rudy just said may go, we're not sure yet, but I think it's an exciting forward three. You look at Braithwaite and Fletcher, they're likely going to be the players who are just playing off Assombalonga and switching in and out, switching sides. So the key is that they're going to have to click quickly, because otherwise you get that, no matter who the strikers are, unless they click, you tend to have a situation where Assombalonga's isolated up front. So we need to make sure they click quickly, and I just hope that they are instructed to be out-and-out strikers / wingers, and nothing more, really, because that's where we struggle with goals last season. is we had a striker up front who had no support behind him.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone knows all about Asamoah Longo, obviously. They had a good season in the Championship last year. Ashley Fletcher, though, he's somebody I'm very... I hope he gets a lot of football because he's someone, you know, supporting United. Myself, I saw a lot of him in the youth teams there and he looked like a very promising player, you know, in the same build as Rashford. He didn't get much of a chance at West Ham, but did okay. I remember he was on loan at Barnsley as well. I think he scored a few goals for them.
That's what I was... Yeah, that's... I only heard of him in terms of Manchester, his time at Manchester. But in terms of Barnsley, that's where he seemed to really pick up a few admirers. The talent's certainly there. You know, he's got the pace there as well. Mm. So there's natural goal scoring there. You've got the strength of Asamoah Longo, you've got the pace of Fletcher. So on paper, it should work out. But as we know, the league isn't played out on paper. Otherwise, we would have walked it last time we were in this position.
What do you think of the signings that have come in, Andy?
I think that you'll not be short of goals if you watch Teddy Barrett game this season, because they've definitely signed some Championship proven players. And I think the best bit of transfer business would be if they keep Ben Gibson at the back.
Mm. Yeah,
unless they get a ridiculously stupid amount of money for him.
Yeah, I think we're holding out for 30 million.
I wouldn't blame you. If we can get 30 million for Pickford, I think Gibson could really be worth that same anyway.
Yeah, I think, and I actually, out of all the signings, I actually think Johnny Howson will be key.
I think we were linked with him as well. I think again, you beat us to him as well.
Yeah, I think the structure's there, isn't it? I think that's the thing with Middlesbrough. I think they do surprise a lot of people in that they're able to probably bat above their average in terms of getting players to the club and managers who maybe would probably financially and maybe the size of the club be better off going elsewhere. But just the infrastructure is so good there.
Yeah, I think Gibson does well with that. He's really good at running the club compared to a lot of other chairmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking at how Middlesbrough have done their business as well, they've spent 40 odd million on players. What do you think of that? You know, a Championship club spending that kind of money sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Well, I'm happy about it, but
I wish we had that kind of money. I think we kind of spend,
Yeah, I think it's easy. When teams look now, when you're looking at teams buying players, because of the sums of money involved, it's easy to get lost in what they're bringing in. Middlesbrough have recruited 20 million already. Now, I would imagine that either Ben Gibson or Traore is going to go. And that you're looking at anywhere between another 15 and 30 million coming in, depending on which one it is, and depending on the figures that have been rumoured about. Like, so, you know, there does have to be a balance there. But the worry is that you end up in the Championship. I do think you're heading towards the stage where you get, you know, a top six, top eight, like when you do in the Premier League. Consistently going to be the same six to eight teams fighting out for promotion because of the parachute payments. Unless they can do it a fairer way than it's currently structured, then that is where the Championship is heading, unfortunately.
Do you think spending that kind of money is worth it for the risk of such riches being in the Premier League?
At the moment, I would argue no, in the sense of the word down the street in Middlesbrough is that this is a last roll of the dice for Gibson. And if that's true, then it's worrying, in the sense of apparently he doesn't want to get, if he's going to get promotion this time, he wants to go there with a bigger squad and a squad more capable of playing in the Premier League rather than getting there and then having to recruit when he's there. And if the gamble doesn't pay off and we don't go up, then there are rumours that he's going to be looking to sell the club because, you know, financially it is rolled by Steve Gibson and by his business alone. And he's put a hell of a lot of money into the club. So I think if you ask any team who goes up, then it's worth the risk. But when you've got teams who maybe, you know, you're going to get to a point where your smaller teams maybe have 30 million and they throw the whole 30 million at it, they don't get promoted, and you have a Portsmouth situation or a Millwall situation where they take 6, 7, 8, 9 years in the lower league rebuilding again. And in that case, it's not worth it then, is it?
Mm.
I agree. I think we would not have the money there to spend. So I think for us this season, I think we're going to have to try and rebuild from the top. And clearly, I don't expect anything from us at all.
Well, are you expecting Middlesbrough to go up straight away, Owen?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it, not the money we spent, just the players itself. You take away all of the actual sums next to the players who've come in. You look at the squad, you look at the players that they've brought in, and the players that we've managed to keep last season. Probably our five best players we've actually kept at the club from last season, which is a rarity when you get relegated. So when you look at that, and looking around, we'll touch on some more of the other clubs, I'm sure, in a moment. But looking around the other clubs, I don't see anything. This will come back to bite me in the arse. So let's this is recorded, I'm sure, it'll bite me on the arse. But we really should be looking to, in the words of Steve Gibson, absolutely smash the league this season. We really should.
I'd be very surprised if he's done more. You're looking at the money he's spent compared to a lot of the other clubs around the league. You spent a decent amount of money, but you've also kept a lot of the players that have come down as well, so they all know each other.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling because you've improved in where you struggled, being more attacking, I think you're doing really well this year, and I'd be very surprised if you don't go.
I just want to touch on the other team that went down, Hull. Leonard Slutsky, who was the Russian CSKA Moscow manager, has took over. It's a bit of an unknown appointment, really hard to gauge how he's going to do, and also he probably doesn't know the championship that well, so I think it's a difficult one to, say if he'll do well or not, really.
Yeah, I think he's struggled just because he doesn't know the championship itself. It's a really hard to get out of. Like, you might be a national manager, but being in CSKA Moscow, but it's a different challenge altogether. But I don't think he'll do well this year, I think he'll struggle personally.
I'm shocked at that. I think they're third or fourth favourite. And that surprises me because, they've lost Maguire, they've lost Robertson, Huddlestone, Curtis Davis. They've lost
Hamady, I think, Winterfellow as well.
Hamady, he's gone. I think Hull will be struggling down the other end of the table, to be honest with you. I really do think they've lost a lot of impactful players who experience-wise and in terms of the will to play for the club with some of their better players last season have gone. And I think they will struggle with the manager who's just not... You're not used to this type of league.
It kind of reminds me of like Felix McGath. I don't know if anyone remembers him. He was at Fulham a few years ago. He joined Fulham with a big reputation. He coached at Bayern Munich and some other big clubs before that, and he completely failed in the championship, got sacked within the first 10 games or something. But again, it's somebody who's a great manager but just doesn't know the championship at all and struggles.
I think it does show. I mean, it's easy to say, the championship is it's the second league, etc., etc. But it is so different to the Premier League and to other leagues out there. Any of the English leagues, even League One, League Two, even players. It wouldn't shock me to see John Terry go into the championship and struggle this season. It really wouldn't, because it's just a completely different mentality there for managers and players alike. And you can't stress it enough how difficult it is to come from the Premiership, especially if you've never played in the Championship before or managed in it, and just settle in quickly and get into a rhythm and get the good momentum going. It's a difficult thing to do.
Great. I think if you're from outside of the Championship perspective, it's an exciting thing to watch. But I think you must get stressed when you're inside of it, when you've got 8 to 10 teams battling for the top 6 places. For this league.
Just going back to Hull, I know you mentioned Middlesbrough, the best bit of business you've done is keeping your 5 or 6 best players, but you look at the outgoings at Hull, they lost Jake Livermore in January, who was probably one of their best players in the first half of last season, but then, Curtis Davis, Tom Huddleston go to Derby, Steve Bruce had to sign El Mohammadi, Andy Robertson goes to Liverpool, Eldon Jaffa.
Robertson went to Liverpool.
Yeah, and Harry Maguire to Leicester as well, so... all the best players at Hull are gone. I kind of agree with you. I think they're going to struggle.
I think that's the case. I mean, we'll might as well go on to it as we'll talk about the other teams. You look across the league, and Derby, they've lost Will Hughes, Tom Ince, Norwich lost Howson, Murphy. Again, they got a new manager. There seems to be a lot of the teams that you would have looked at. Maybe if you'd said last season these teams are going to be in the league next year, who do you think is going to get promotion? You would have named the likes of Norwich, Derby, Sunderland, Hull, but they all seem to be in the league now and maybe rebuilding rather than looking for promotion, because that's the feeling I get with all of those teams. And the teams who have kept their players, Fulham, they've kept Kearney and Sessegnon. I think they'll be fantastic this season if they can keep Jukanovic happy. Rumours are he's not happy because he's not being given funds to spend. But I think keeping players is probably just as valuable as signing them in this league. And a lot of the teams who I thought would be their promotion just have seemed to have really struggled to keep all the players that would have been vital for a promotion push.
Well, what do you think of Fulham's chance? I think the other player who's coming, Lucas Piazon's on loan there again. I know he said he was unhappy at going out on all these loans, but he's staying at Fulham for another season. I think he's a good player for them, as well as Kearney and Sessegnon. What do you think?
I can't see why Chelsea don't just sell him, because the loan amount, was it his fifth or sixth season he's got out with loans?
It's ridiculous, yeah.
You may as well just sell him to somebody, like, you may as well sell him to Fulham, because that's why he seems to keep going on one-term.
But in terms of Fulham's chances of promotion, do you see them in the hunt?
Yeah, I agree with what he says, because basically they kept Sessegnon, and I think it's what I'm trying to say, to kind of be happy. Mm-hmm. Despite what the rumours going about at the moment, because they're one of my, them and Barrow, I think the two teams you'll see near the top of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think like Newcastle and Brighton last year, I think Fulham and Barrow would be the two this year.
And moving on, I just want to mention Aston Villa. Steve Bruce turned things around last season. I thought they had a good end to the season. John Terry's the big, the big marquee signing. There's rumours Ashley Cole might join him there as well. I think they're a team with a good chance. As you sort of touched on it before, I'm a bit unsure how John Terry's going to do. He said his reputation won't be tainted even if he fails because of everything he's done before. I think he's got a bit of a point there. It's kind of a risk-free for him.
Yeah, I think if he doesn't settle in, he's totally right. It's not gonna leave a mark on his reputation when he retires or anything. If anything, my concern with Villa twofold really is I don't think they've got a striker there who can score the goals needed to go up. That's something they may address in the coming weeks. And if they do bring in Cole as well, that's two massive egos. Again, we go back to the Championship in a league where the players who play in this league, they play because they love football. It's not about the money, it's not about the egos of the vast majority of them. So bringing in two players with huge egos like that is, it can unsettle the dressing room. The flip side is it could have an incredible impact. And, they may absolutely want it to be experienced and Terry there. You just never know, do you?
Mm-hmm. Jack Grealish is out as well for the next few months. How big a loss is he?
I think it's a big loss for Villa, because I think he would have been key this season for them to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've brought in, they've got a lot of aging players that they've brought in. Got a couple of inches out, but the players they've had this season is putting a lot of experience in. El Mohammedi, he's in front of Samba, Wayne. He's got the experience. So there's a pretty young squad. Hopefully the experience helps to the rest of the team, but Grealish is he's going to be a big miss for them, so I think he's a really strong Championship player.
Mm-hmm. Owen, where do you see Villa ending up this season?
I think they'll definitely be in with the shout of the battle for the top, probably the top two. I go them along with Fulham and Middlesbrough, possibly Sheffield Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Although I think Sheffield Wednesday will probably be a playoff team again. But yeah, I think for me those four are the standout teams mm-hmm. in the league this season. I think Derby are probably, even though they've lost two massive players, I think I really rate Bauer. And I think he'll have a good impact with them. He's just got to be given the time to build and to get them playing. And that's something the Derby owners seem to fire through managers quicker than knife through butter, don't they? So we'll see where they are this year. But I think Derby will be in there as well.
Very exciting.
I'll keep your eye on. I think Brentford this season, I think there's another team to watch for, because the firepower they brought through. Is it Neil Mopé that they brought in? I know they've just signed us a day. Ollie Watkins as well from
Exeter. Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday though, as you mentioned, I think they'll get into the playoffs. Carlos Carvajal's got them there the last two seasons. I'd be surprised if they're not at least in the playoffs myself this season.
Agreed. Yeah, Rhodes struggled to make an impact last year, but I think with a full summer training camp behind him and the addition of George Boyd is a big addition as well. I think they'll be good to watch this season, Sheffield Wednesday.
Okay. I just want to quickly touch on League One. The favourites going up, Blackburn, Wigan and Portsmouth. With Portsmouth, there was some big news today that Michael Eisner, the former Disney CEO, has taken over the club. He's promised to invest $10 million into it, as well as, I think, the $6 million or so he's paid to buy the club. So, good news there. Hopefully they can get a turnaround. Well, one of the favourites to go up to the Championship.
It'll be good to see them come back up, because Portsmouth, it's a team I do like. just hopefully they don't just spend the money like they have been in the past under Harry Redknapp. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. Hopefully they spend a bit more wisely than the former.
Yeah, I was impressed with Eisner and the way he spoke about it. It would have been easy for him to come in and just drop 50 million there and say there's your transfer kit, he gets promoted again. But he's actually, 10 million, he's investing a stable sum of money, and I think he's invested in it because he could see the structure getting back in place, and they'll balance in the club. I don't think he would have gone into it if he wasn't assured that the structure was in place for them to continue building the way they are building. So yeah, I think Bournemouth would be really good for this season.
Uh-huh. Anyone else you guys would look out for?
Well, we're saying Blackburn, Jeffrey, I think they're with the likes of Danny Graham up front, getting Peter Whitten them in. For me, the other one, I think Bradford's normally always up there with thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
They usually do well. MK Dons, I think we should see them be a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah, I don't think you can look outside of Blackburn, to be honest, can you? The teams that have gone down, Blackburn, Wigan again, you said, Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who will probably fight for those top three spots. Again, it's quite similar to the Championship in that it's becoming quite samey every year. You've got the same teams, bar one or two, muscling in on the playoffs, and the teams who go down fighting for the promotion spots again. Oxford United, outside shout maybe, but otherwise I think you're looking at MK Dons and Blackburn and everyone.
I just want to have a quick mention of League Two as well. Mansfield are the favourites to go up. Luton as well. Luton up there after their good season, just missing out on automatics. And Lincoln as well. Lincoln, third favourites to go up after, straight up from the National League. I think that'd be a story if they went straight into League One, wouldn't it?
The Crowley brothers done a good job down there, I think. Luton's signing of straight up floating them already. James Collins.
Mm.
You've got 220 goal plus strikers there. I think you've got a strong chance of winning that league. So them three, I think, for me, are definitely going to be, I think, the top three by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, wouldn't disagree with that. Carlisle as well, Keith Curl. I think last chance saloon for him to get them up, especially after the disappointing way they finished last season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to finish by mentioning that the FA Cup starts this week. The first extra preliminary round starts. So to talk about that, I've decided to we can do a little quiz. So I've got a. I've got a list of teams. Some of them are real teams which are participating in the first extra preliminary round this weekend, and some of them are fake teams. So I want you to tell me, if I give you the teams in turn, I want you to tell me which one, if it's a real team I'm giving you, or a fake team. So Andy, I'll start with you. Your first one is Dunkirk.
I've heard of the present, I think. I want to go on real.
Yeah, it's a real team, Dunkirk. And over to you, Owen. It's Cadbury Athletic.
I knew I'd get something like that. this is where I say real, and it turns out it's actually Maltesers Athletic or something. I'll go for no. That's got to be fake, surely.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, fake. We'll go fake.
It's a real team. I'm sorry.
Lime.
Yeah, we're right. Yours.
Andy, Radcliffe United.
Radcliffe. Yeah. Right, I'm going to go with fake.
It is. It's the small village where I work. I thought I'd make it up.
I've never got a team involved.
Owen, yours is Crawley Down Gatwick.
Crawley Down Gatwick. I got stung on the last one by going fake, so I'm going to go real.
It is real. It is real, yeah.
I mean, have any of these teams ever made it to the FA Cup, like the last stage of qualifying or anything?
I don't know, to be honest. I should have looked up more on the record.
But we've never heard of them being anywhere near the top. Anywhere near the first, and we don't know what they are now.
Andy, yours is Heathrow Airport FC.
It's almost sounds like something like Metropolitan Police. Heathrow Airport. This is going to set up. I think I'm one of these are a real team. I'm going to go with real.
It's not, unfortunately. It was one inspired by. It was inspired by Crawley down Gatwick, that one.
I was going to say, it would have been good if that was Bridal and they were playing each other in the first round. winner gets an extra runway.
Owen. So over to Owen for your third one, and it's White City.
I'm going to go fake straight away.
It is. It's a place in Manchester again, which I know.
I thought it was a borough in London as well, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know London that well.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. It is. Name rings a bell.
Okay. So Andy, over to you. Buxton FC.
Real.
It's not. I'm afraid not. I've made it up to.
You make up some good names.
Well, they're not a team that's competing in the extra preliminary round. They may be a real. I don't know.
So I think they come across as a real team.
They could be. Yeah. So Owen, your fourth one is Stansted.
I feel like we're going through the airports now. Stansted. Let's go fake again.
That one's real, I'm afraid.
I was thinking it was real because I've sure seen them. Cause I can't remember what I've sure seen them. The Northern Eastern League.
Mm.
Or anywhere that area. I'm sure I've seen them somewhere before.
So over to you, Andy. Yours is FC Romania.
FC Romania.
FC Romania.
Oh, I'm gonna get stung with this one. I'm walking over FC Romania. God.
They play at Bucharest Stadium.
We'll go over real, because I know it sounds big as if having Romania in the team in the UK, but I'm just, for some reason I'm going to go over real.
It is. It's a real team.
I wonder whether that is made up of the Europeans.
So, Owen, your final one is Cheddar.
I feel I've been duped with these ones. I've been done
over all dupes.
I've had Cadbury's, Cheddar. let's go real.
It is real. It is real.
Please tell me they have a cool nickname.
I think because I know there's a small town of Cheddar where the cheese is famous for its cheese. Obviously, I'm pretty sure. I presume they play there. But yeah.
I've never heard of them, so that
couldn't be put there. So Andy won that 4-3. I had quite a nice long list actually of some of the real teams. I had the other ones. I had Cockfosters, Hassocks, Deal Town, Cribs.
I've heard of Cockfosters. I don't know if I have. I think I've heard of those. I kind of think they're a real team, though. I'm sure they are.
There's
And what was the other one? Deal Town, did you say?
Deal Town, yeah.
Somewhere you shouldn't be in London on a Friday night. That
There's a Cribs, Dis Town, Rainworth Miners Welfare, Rust Hall, and Odd Down. Some of the other teams I had on my list, if necessary, on a tie break.
So some of those are real.
All of those were real.
I've never heard of Cogfoss as an experienced football manager, but the rest I've never heard of.
I mean, they really pluck teams out in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup, don't they?
Yeah.
I think they just pick names. I don't think they even go to football.
Well, I've just looked now. Cheddar AFC, and their nickname is the Cheese Men. So.
I also had Guernsey FC on my list because they've said, well, they've participated in the FA Cup in the past. I thought it would have been an interesting one, but this year they've decided not to take part, so that would have been correct.
They've done quite well as well in the past, haven't they? Or reasonably well.
They've got through a few rounds, I'm sure they have, yeah.
Yeah.
I know the BBC have committed as well to streaming at least one game per round. So they're streaming a derby game in Liverpool, Litherland REM YCA versus AFC Liverpool. And yeah, I guess if you wanted to watch some FA Cup action, you can check that out on the BBC website.
Might have a look at these teams then.
There's a few other games on TV as well. Andy Sunderland are playing Derby in the Friday evening. What? How do you think Sunderland will start?
Well, obviously hope for a good start, but. If the follow on from the Celtic game, I can see it being a real struggle on the night.
Mm-hmm.
I think a draw would be where we go for the first game. It's if we've got to basically say the defence can hold out after the way they've gone through pre-season, because they've conceded a lot of goals over pre-season.
Mm-hmm.
To like see Bradford as well. Derby have the chance to score passes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking maybe 2-1 Derby, but I think a draw could be where we're heading for the first game, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be vital for Sunderland fans to really stick behind the team this season. I think the fans can make a real difference, especially at home. It's a really, I've been up to watch Middlesbrough a few times, and it's an intimidating ground to go and play at, especially when the fans are in full voice.
Mm.
I think they're going to be huge this season, Sunderland fans.
I think moving the problem, because we always had the crowd singing at the bottom next to where the away fans were, but since they moved them up, it's got a lot quieter, and you can really tell in the stadium that it's a bit too quiet.
Mm.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's one of those things. I think last season definitely didn't help. So hopefully this season we'll hear the voice again.
Mm.
Yeah.
And just to mention, with the National League, with Sutton United playing Leyton Orient, that's a huge game, isn't it, for National League?
Oh, definitely. Because I know Leyton Orient, the season, they sold 3,500
season tickets.
So that'll be a really good first game to watch.
All right, thanks for joining me. Appreciated your time. You can check out our website, v2football.com. We've set up a new Twitter account, The 72 Show, as well as the V2 Twitter. You can follow Andy Clark at AndrewFClark14 and Owen at Owen10Aussie on Twitter. I'll put all the links in the description so you can find us all. Good night to me, and good night from me, and good night from my guests, Andrew Clark and Owen Meek. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye, guys. Thanks very much.
Bye, everybody. Take care.